Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space where, together with my producer Fee, I talk to good friends and trusted experts on how they age well, whether it's their latest supplement stack, what's on their bathroom shelf, or a new biohacking device that really seems to work. Because for me, aging well is all about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, both inside as well as out. Remember, you can also find even more ideas and expert tips on my social channels at Dr. Sophie Schotter. I'd love you to come and join me over there too. So this is my show. Welcome along. As always, thank you so much for listening. And this week, we're in conversation with Annie de Marmiel. Annie, welcome to the show. I have to say, though, that we do feel like we've already met you because two of our previous guests, the makeup artist Caroline Barnes and the beauty journalist Francesca Agirman-White, have both said such amazing things about you. Caroline put us onto your Altitude Oil, which I've also been trying and love, and she said she recommends that to all of her clients. And Francesca told us an incredible anecdote about a single acupuncture session she had with you that brought on her period the very next day after 5 years of not menstruating. So incredible. So we have lots to talk about. We know you have a global wait list of over 8 months, and you're one of the world's most sought-after skin and wellness experts. And this is before we get into your work as a Chinese medicine practitioner, craniosacral therapist, aromatherapist. And of course, you now have the most beautiful product range too, which again, we're definitely going to get into. But firstly, when you're doing body work on a client, we've read that you listen to a client's body through the tongue, the pulse, the craniosacral fluid, amongst other things. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and what happens during a typical session with you? Because as I understand it, you might deploy all kinds of therapies from craniosacral work to acupuncture and tuning forks.
Oh, hi, Soph, and thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely delighted to be a part of this and honoured to share a little bit more about the brand and the work that I do. It's really interesting. I mean, like, physiology just blows my mind, and what the body does and what it holds and how it regulates itself and the nervous system. But I think it's sort of really important in a treatment session to listen to the body and listen to what it's saying and how it's moving and where the stresses and tensions are being held. But through the tongue and the pulse, you can really do that because it's almost like they don't lie or there's no filters on them. When, you know, I always begin the session with like loads of questions and understanding people's thought processes and their minds and where they are. But sometimes, you know, we have different filters on us in the way that we think we should behave or something that the way that we should respond to things. Whereas the tongue and the pulse naturally give me that information through feeling without any filters, so to speak.
Diving back, Annie, into your incredible backstory, what may surprise some people is that you briefly worked in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm guessing this was very different to the internship you did at a Chinese hospital when training in Chinese medicine. But what did you learn throughout both of these experiences? And what are your views now on pharmaceuticals?
I have had a multitude of lives. I feel like a cat sometimes with 9 lives, all the various avenues that I've gone down. Do you know, I think it's really interesting in that there's a place for everything in the world, and taking the best of all bits that I do is something I really try to engage in. In the pharma world, I think it was my first real job out of university, when I was thinking, oh, what do I want to do? Do I want to keep going? And so it taught me a lot. It really sort of taught me the beauty and understanding of research and data and that really hard science behind things and how important that was to begin to formulate something from. And I think, you know, that was really fascinating. And then you sort of had what would seem diametrically opposed, the Chinese medicine view of things and spending that time in the hospital. But, you know, the wonderful integration bits that I learned there was about how powerful the mind was in affecting the body and treating those as one thing. Whereas, you know, in the Western world, we tend to separate things and treat them as individual bits. And after thousands of years, the Chinese are really amazing at treating the body as a whole thing. And you see where in some cases, it is a case of Western medicine is better, and other times Chinese medicine is better. And one of the amazing sort of patients that always comes to mind when I talk about this is that we saw a lot of strokes there, which in Chinese medicine we call wind. And, you know, the initial sort of treatment protocol for them was that they would receive acupuncture and herbs, you know, twice a day, every day for a certain amount of time before going on to Western medicine. And the recovery rate was so high and so strong. But, you know, at the end of the day, both had its place and they needed both. And so I think it's about that. It's, you know, the other lovely thing about Chinese medicine is that it never forgets anything. It's like a toolbox, and you just keep building these things. Whereas in the Western world, we sometimes latch onto the latest and greatest thing and forget about what we previously knew, which I think is quite sad.
That's such a beautiful answer. And I do think we ignore a lot of ancient wisdom and a lot about the whole body perspective in Western medicine. And I say that as a trained Western medicine doctor. So yeah, completely agree. Like you, I'm really interested in the impact that stress has on our skin and the metabolic pathways linked into this. We know there's four major metabolic pathways, from cortisol to glycation, and each one has a primary effect as well as secondary and tertiary effects. Can you talk us through each of these and how they show up on the skin? And also more generally, do talk to us about your thoughts on modern day living and the impacts of stress that I think everyone nowadays is feeling.
Yeah, do you know, it's, I don't know whether we're just more able to recognize it and be aware of it, but, you know, there's so many factors into it, isn't it, in terms of like stress, and it happens. And sometimes we think it's always bad, but there are good stresses and there are bad stresses. And, you know, we almost need stress sometimes just to get things done. But I think it's how we respond to stress that really sort of determine whether we overcome it or whether it actually overwhelms us. And as you'd know, it's sort of, Sophie, it's, you know, the physiological process that the body goes whenever we feel stress, what it goes through is, you know, something like about 1,400 physiological reactions that actually occur. And in the modern day world, where it seems like it's just little bit by little bit by little bit of stress that just keeps building in us, it's like death from a thousand cuts almost, in that we don't sort of notice the little ones until it sort of gets to a point, and then it's sort of all encompassing. But, you know, we haven't evolved enough to recognize the difference between an emotional stress that is something, you know, from forgetting to pack one of the kids' lunches at school, to a life-threatening stress that we experienced as cave people running from the tigers and the lions and that sort of thing. And so it's that same process. And, you know, the problem is that it just keeps building in the system. And so understanding that and recognizing that is sort of, I think, the first thing. But what I've sort of found in the clinic and through research is that we know of now, there's almost like four major metabolic pathways which, you know, we see changes in the skin from. And it's an individual response stress, in that we sort of like have our own path. And so, you know, for somebody, it could be just about reaching for sugar all the time. And so our stress response tends to be more of a glycation type response, where, you know, the sugar molecule attaches to the protein and breaks down. And what we see in the skin from that is like that weakened tissue strength and the loss of elasticity. And you see that constant sort of dryness and dehydration and uneven skin texture. But I guess the other thing that, you know, you're sort of looking at is that each of these things just keep knocking onto the other, so it becomes this vicious circle. And, you know, the other three pathways of free radicals, which we know so much about, it's something that, I mean, most sort of people would know what free radicals do to the body. And you know, that what we see with the skin with them are things like, you know, just fine lines and wrinkles, and the skin barrier is lost, and then you sort of like have that loss of moisture. The underlying factor, I think, on all of the pathways is that, you know, yes, there's dryness and probably all of them and dehydration, but it's that thing of, it doesn't matter how much moisture you put on, you never get dewy, beautiful, glowing skin. It's like, so we have to go backwards and to really understand what is creating the dehydration and the dryness in the skin. And it's that constant master pathway of cortisol where it just keeps, once you're in that sort of, you're almost in a rat run where the wheel keeps spinning. And that is sort of, once we're there, it's really difficult to break, I think. And what we actually see here is a whole bunch of stuff of, you know, that redness and the underlying inflammation, and which can move to rosacea. And we have a thinning of the skin. We see there's signs of premature aging, and you have like that rapid collagen breakdown, which is, you know, you wake up one morning and all of a sudden you look like, you feel like you're 106 or something. Everything feels like it's just dropped and you've got no sense of gravity in your skin. And so, you know, you have all of these things that then sort of lead to the inflammation and the inflammatory pathway. It leads to the oxidation and then to glycation. And so it sort of becomes, like I said, this constant wheel of modern day stress. And it, you know, I think one of the biggest factors is that we're always on. We never have this chance to be able to flick the switch and disconnect from things. And that's really vital in the way that we look and the way that we feel.
Mm. The Times ran an article that described you as one of the UK's most in-demand facialists. We wondered, how do your facials differ from others? So, for example, we understand that you call yourself an integrated facialist. Could you explain what that means?
Thank you. That's a lovely thing to remember. I'd forgotten all about that article. But it's taking the best of all of the parts that I've studied, I think, and being able to really hone that in into what that patient needs right now in this moment. You know, I've been so lucky in that, you know, I've studied Chinese medicine and acupuncture. You know, I studied anatomy and physiology and did pre-med, as well as cranial sacral and clinical aromatherapy and breath work as well. And all of those things I can pick and choose from as to what I feel the patient needs at that moment. They all tell me a story and sort of like work it, like in Chinese medicine, your face is a roadmap of energy. It tells the story about what's going on. Certain parts relate to parts of your body. So, you know, your cheek areas about your lungs and things like that. And it can allow me to work on the skin through what I've found through all of those modalities. And so, yeah, you might get acupuncture or you might get cranial sacral, you know, you'll always get a facial and work on the skin and just those little bits as well to make it whole and to really go back to the root cause and understanding what it is, what's creating the things that are out of balance in your body and bringing them back to balance.
Staying with your various accolades, you have an international client list and so many A-listers have been talking about your work. Your product range was also recently included in Vogue's Best in Beauty Awards. Congratulations. And I understand there was also a bit of serendipity at play when Gwyneth Paltrow and the team at Goop got in touch to ask if they could stock the range. We'd love to hear more about that story and also generally your journey into business.
The Goop story. We were actually, my husband and I were on a holiday. We were coming down the West Coast, so from San Francisco down to Los Angeles. It must have been Friday afternoon. We got an email in our inbox saying, we'd love to talk to you about the brand and stocking the oils. And we were like, oh my gosh. Firstly, after lots of screams and excitements and hand clapping, we emailed them back and said, we're going to be in LA on Monday. We could meet. And so we did. And it was so lovely. It was actually the day that Goop were leaving Gwyneth's pool house and moving to their office. So it sort of feels like quite a pinnacle in everything that we did. That's been the story of the business in that it's really been built by word of mouth. It started as an accident. And I say this with a big smile on my face because I began blending bespoke oils and teas for my patients based on their needs and to bring them back to balance and center. But then as I sort of was making the cleansing balm and things like that, people literally wanted to take it home with them. And so the last person on that day would get my half empty pot and I sort of would come home and make some more. But my husband sort of funnily just said, well, that's not a very economical way to grow a business. Let's put some labels on it and put them on the website. And so we did that. And we were so blessed because I think 3 weeks later, Net-a-Porter called in all the products as Kathleen Bard-Murray had just been for a treatment and loved it. And so that was been the process really of how the business has grown. And for me, it's been about what's important is what goes in the bottle and making sure that is as vital and like leaving no stone unturned in the formulation where, you know, the formulation starts at that, you know, in the efficacy and high performance way. So they have to really work on the skin. And then, you know, there's the additional part of the soul as well. But the business has really been that. It's, you know, we've been so lucky and our retailers have come to us from word of mouth or because they've heard things about the products and same with our customers and my clients. So it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, and a lot of serendipity involved, as Sophie said, and as you confirmed, which is exactly what we were thinking. So should we talk about the product range? Because it's so beautiful. We're both massive fans. What are the hero products? Can you talk us through the range and also potentially what's coming down the pipeline?
So the range is, it took us a long time to figure out who we were. And, you know, the processes and everything were still in place, but I guess where we are a place where science meets soul because it's about those high performance ingredients and then these the additional elements that just bring in the completedness. And, you know, that sort of really begins with one of the first products and the hero products, which is, you know, the cleansing balm. So in terms of heroes, I'd probably say, you know, cleansing balm, the seasonal oils, altitude oil and our gravity fix, which is sort of one of my favorites. But, you know, the seasonal oils were very much about what you need now. It is about, you know, in Chinese medicine, life is a series of seasons and cycles. And at each point in the year, it's that connection with Mother Nature that makes us feel solid and grounded and purposeful. You know, if we're sort of way out of sync when, you know, we know that with our biological rhythms, when they're all out of sync, we're not sort of feeling like, I guess, grounded sort of humans. And so working through the seasons, and it made, this is the start, it just makes sense to me that, you know, looking at what you need at that sort of time of year and the cycle of nature. So, you know, in winter, it's about deep rest and replenishment and really allowing the seed to gather potential within us. And in the spring, we emerge and begin to sprout. It's about vitality and the unstoppability of life. And in the summer, we're at full flourish and bloom. And then in the autumn, we're letting go and releasing to start the cycle again. And so building a formula and an oil that sort of allowed us emotionally to go through those and be ready for those, as well as everything that the skin needs at that time of year, was sort of really important and something that was really unique. But I just felt like people were really beginning to miss where, you know, we didn't have time to switch on. We choose our food and our clothes for specific times of the year, but we're never tuning in to those finer moments of our skin and our body. And that's what the seasonal oils were all about. It's just finding that rhythm for you so you could just engage with that. And from the way that we use the oils in terms of, you know, inhaling them and taking a deep breath, which is about reducing that cortisol and engaging the parasympathetic nervous system to slow everything down. So, you know, they're just not lovely little words on the box. They really come into that purpose to begin to slow us down so we're ready for sleep and ready to begin to switch off. The cleansing balm, which is like just this beautiful, rich, balmy, sort of like buttery texture that's just unctuous and
smells divine, you know, as well, by the way.
And it's that funny thing of, you know, patients who are so busy and they just go and you say, you know, I want you to stop and smell it and do a face massage with it for, you know, a few minutes. And they're like, well, I can only do a few minutes. And that's all the time I've got. And I'm like, well, we'll see and we'll try and build it out to 10 or so minutes. And they're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And then literally a week later, you're getting a text going, oh my God, like I'm now like, I'm doing your massage. It's amazing. It's just switching me off. And so they're the sort of some really lovely stories that, you know, I've sort of created that I hear back, which is, I'm just really blessed by. And then your altitude oil that you talked about, which when we lived in New York, we were going backwards and forwards so much. And you know, when you sit down on a plane and somebody three seats over sneezes, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get off this plane and I'm going to start sneezing and I'm going to have a head cold. And so it was to protect the immune system and to really clear the space around you. So, you know, you could get off the plane and you still feel like you could hit the ground running, you know, because it's antibacterial and antiviral. And most of us sort of get off a plane and go into a hotel room and there's all of those things to contend with. So it's really about, you know, protecting you and, you know, using it on the sub. And we used to get all of these stories in saying the people were using it like on the subway in their hands and, you know, on bites or stings or anything like that, which was, wow, this is really amazing. And I actually remember once being on a flight and I smelt the altitude oil. Which was,
wow,
so
that's a moment.
I know, you know, when you just go, oh my goodness. And so that was really lovely.
Incredible.
So yeah, so it's been a journey. And you know, I always create something as to, it takes me years to formulate something because I'm seeing what my patients need and what is needed, as opposed to just creating another something. And I think that's so important because there's so many things at play and so many choices, and you don't want to give additional stress by just throwing things out there. So, you know, really purposeful and meaningful things that I feel there's a real need for.
I love that, Annie. And I am actually quite looking forward to my next long haul flight, which I think is going to be in a few weeks because I have the altitude oil to try on board.
Amazing. Here's a top tip. It sounds like was something that your granny probably used to do, but I put it on a tissue or a hanky and tuck it under my bra so I can smell it the whole time, or under my watch strap.
Oh, I love that.
So a hot little tip for you.
Amazing. Brilliant. We'd also love to hear about your own personal daily self-care practices. What does an average morning look like for you in terms of what you do, what you take, any non-negotiables from skincare to stress management?
That's a really interesting question because I tend to be a not rigid person, and I mean, life is changing so much, isn't it? And as that you're on flights and you're in different places. And so I think for me, my morning thing is, when I hop up, it doesn't matter where I am, I'll always try and have like a warm water and some lemon. And then I'll walk outside with Willow, our dog, who is literally the only person in our office who has a title. She's our head of happiness. And so, yeah, so we go out for a little walk in the garden together. And then I'll come back in, I'll make my coffee. And for me, that is such a process of enjoying the smell, and I have a few nuts with it just so I don't spike my cortisol. And then we'll go and sit together, Willow, and I take in those moments, and I quite often just read a passage or a poem. And at the minute I'm reading one of Jung Pablo's books, which is just verses of something poignant sort of poems of, and that I can just read and reflect on and set my intention for the day. And that's sort of really the thing that I make sure I do all the time. And I exercise, I walk, I do breath work and yoga and all sorts of things at different times. But for me, that's sort of like setting up my day. And I'm an early riser, so I really sort of love that special time of day of watching the world come alive.
That's beautiful. And I love that whole getting outdoors and connection with, they're not pets, they're our companions. I think it's, I love the head of happiness. Beautiful.
Yeah, she truly is.
I have one of those as well. I have a four-pawed head of happiness as well, and can't be some dog therapy. I guess kind of tacking on to what Sophie said, what would we see in your bathroom cabinet in terms of, are you religiously devout to your skincare range, which I absolutely would understand if you are, but is there anything else that you do use, let's say, whether for skin or for hair or body or nails, like what products do you love? We're just being nosy here.
Excellent. No, do you know what? There are so many things out there that are so amazing, and I'm really blessed because quite often I'm sent things to try as well. But I love, like, in terms of hair, there's a great brand from LA called Roz, and she's an amazing woman. And I also love Adam Reed, some of Adam Reed's, like his hair serum. It's got a brand called Archive, and his journey through mental health has just been extraordinary. Somebody I really admire. SPF is always a massive thing. So ultraviolet SPF, I really love. Gucci Westman does an incredible range of makeup. Body-wise, I've got these amazing, like they are just out of this world, body brushes called lymphatic brushes, where they're developed by this incredible lady in New York, Cecily Braddon. And literally I use those, try to daily, but on my face and body. And rather than doing your own lymphatic drainage, they're like 40 fingers doing the lymphatic drainage for you. They're just amazing.
You've previously mentioned taking adaptogens for adrenal support. We'd also love to know what your current supplementation routine is. So do you take anything on a regular basis? Vitamins and protein powders, functional mushrooms, probiotics, anything that you feel supports your health?
Supplements and things like that are so interesting, isn't it? Because I really know when my body needs it. And so I sort of dip in and out of things. And, you know, I would always, like, especially over the winter, take a vitamin D because it's just something that we just tend to lack. Probiotics, Simprove, Seed in the US, because I just think the data behind them, and I've seen real effects on the skin, especially with those two. Turmeric and curcumin is something that I tend to take as well because I have an inflammatory sort of constitution, and so that's something that I would sort of tend to take. And then most other things, you know, I dip in and out of. I, you know, will have matcha that's got some mushroom supplements and spocus supplements with nootropics in them and adaptogens. There's like a lovely brand, Phytonectars, that I use as well.
I judged one of theirs recently for an award, actually.
Yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they?
Really lovely, beautiful products.
And the story behind the brand is really lovely as well. So, you know, there's something that sort of always tends to be in the cupboard as well. But there's certain brands that I just really love because either the story behind them or their quality. And I think Wild Nutrition and Artar I tend to use a lot of, where I might sort of go if I'm going through a phase where I'm traveling a lot, and I might boost up my magnesium or selenium if I'm feeling that my blood glucose is a bit all over the place. So I sort of dip in and out of that. And I was actually looking this morning at what I was sort of currently taking, and still vitamin D and omegas, the curcumin and my Phytonectars. I think I'm using Focus at the moment. So I think it's something that we can dip in and out of.
And do you have any specific sleep rituals, including any supplements like magnesium, things like that?
So sleep, oh my gosh, like how important is that? And I think it's funny, of course, it's all, how obvious is it as well? But yeah, it's that funny thing. So for me, sleep is, I have trouble staying asleep. And so I selfishly developed Anchor for that, which is like a balm that I have. So that's always by my bed. And I apply that at night and when I wake up. But I'm a big, big bath person as well. So on those sort of nights when I'm sort of feeling a little bit restless, I'll always have like a salt bath beforehand. I have a journal beside my bed that if I wake up and I need to put something in it or to get something out of my head, then I'll just dump it. So when I'm traveling, actually, for me, I listen to Opo, which is an amazing meditation app that some friends of ours sort of developed, and is free, but it's really, it goes through seasonal things and sleep stuff, and I just gravitate towards that. It's a really beautiful sort of sleep site.
Can we also touch on brain health? What are you doing or taking, if anything, to keep your brain healthy?
I think that's going to become like over the next few years, biohacking and all of those type of things just going to become so much more a part of our conversation. I think that it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the data I was reading a study by Harvard a couple of weeks ago, and that supplementation in the brain isn't there yet, which is sort of really interesting because I've seen some stuff on smells and memory, things like rosemary. Really amazing for memory, especially in old people's homes. And so I've always got a rosemary plant around the place, and I had rosemary in my hot water of an afternoon to help with my brain health. You know, omegas are something that I just think is something that you do. I think keeping the brain healthy through diet is really important, and what we eat and feed into our system is keeps our brain healthy. And then, you know, the other thing that I do is use a special blend of oil on sort of the back of my neck to help with the lymphatic system and that lymphatic drainage of the brain that is a burgeoning area in terms of study and how that affects our focus and all sorts of things. So a few bits and bobs there.
Yeah, gosh, that's all fascinating, especially what you do with the behind the neck. That's really interesting. We would love to know as well who you see for any complementary or alternative therapies, if you see anyone at all.
My little black book.
Who's in your little black book? Yes, exactly.
I am blessed because I have so many amazing people, and most of them I've literally been with for about 20 years. And so they have helped me through many a things. And so I see Dominic Cheatham, who is the most amazing, extraordinary chiropractor who puts up with a lot from me and I absolutely adore. And Perry James, who is a massage therapist, but not really massage, and he just gets me back together. He's literally the sticky tape and glue behind holding me together. And then my other sort of like really amazing person is a lovely girl I studied with, Kate Fremantle, who does herbs and acupuncture. And she is just magic. I don't know where I'd be without her.
Oh, I love this list. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Taking it back to the business, and you mentioned in a previous interview that you've benefited from the wisdom of various mentors. Can you talk to us about your mentors and more generally your experience of being in business? For example, do you have any tangible tips you can pass on?
Having somebody there and a mentor is essential to for our emotional and mental health. Just somebody that you can just throw things at, and that sort of, you know, you can look at it from a different perspective. Through my life, I've been so lucky in that, even from like when I was like one of my many lives ago, and lovely teachers from when I was trading on the floor. But you know, now the people I sort of have around me, you know, Nikki Kinnaird, who ran Space NK, and she's been just somebody who I can always bounce ideas off. And I think it's just that is essential to helping you just disengage a little bit and, like I said, get another perspective. You know, I've studied with so many amazing people, and their knowledge has been sort of passed on in a way. And I think that is just about the freedom of flow, and the knowledge is out there and sharing it. And so I'm always happy to help businesses and people, because, you know, sharing that information just helps them to stop the mistakes that we did. And I think starting your own business and doing something like this or anything, it's hard. There's no such thing as an overnight success. It takes just a lot of hard work, and I really believe it's, you know, about listening to your gut and believing in your vision and yourself and what it is that you want to create. I think one of the lessons that I didn't probably learn the first time, but maybe it took me the second time to learn it, is about not giving your power away. I really feel that, you know, it's so easy to believe that people know more than you do, because it's not something that you know a lot of, but that you are the holder of your light and your vision, and just don't let that go out. That's, I think, probably one of my biggest sort of bits of advice to people.
That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Anya. That really resonates. Thank you. Back to stress and finding balance. Where's your happy place, and where in the UK can you recommend for true rest and relaxation, whether this is a hotel or a spa or a town or a village or I don't know, wherever? Where do you go to feel really zen?
For me, it's the sea. Wherever I can, whenever I can get to anywhere by the sea or in the water, it's really important, and it just takes me back to home. And, you know, it's instant relaxation, isn't it? You smell that salt air and you just go, ah. Oh. But I guess on a daily basis, my happy place is when I walk Willow. and being in nature and being in that and just watching like her play and run and jump and chase the ball. It's, I don't know, you just, nothing else matters. You find a freedom in that, which is invigorating, I think. And it's just such a special time, and you've got the air and the sun and everything is fresh. And yeah, that's definitely my happy place.
And apart from friends and family, who inspires you?
That's a really good question. For me, it's people who have overcome adversity and are really courageous in the way that they do things. It's probably, you know, people just getting on and doing things and reaching and fulfilling their full potential. And I think about it and I connect so much with athletes and that sort of level of performance. And the best example I can think of is when Rory McIlroy 2 weeks ago winning the Masters after 11 years of trying to seek out the best and improving in increment after increment and all of that pressure, but he never gave up. He just kept trying and getting better, and he really sought to be the best that he could be. And to me, that is just beyond anything. It's achieving those things and not giving up to any extent. It tends to be that sort of behaviors that I really get inspired by. You know, I was lucky enough sort of 25 years ago to do an around the world yacht race, which had in it, it was the logo for it was ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And on our crew, we had, you know, we had people from in their 60s to in the like 19, each doing it for different reasons. And you know, so inspiring that, you know, people had never been sailing before or had done lots of sailing, but were on this trip to get, and we all had different motivations and perspectives to do it.
Wow. On a more spiritual side, and this is back to our conversation with Francesca Ajirman-White, she described you as a deeply powerful intuitive. What, if anything, do you believe in but can't prove?
That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
I've no idea on why this happens or what it's about, but we had a friend of ours who was once again doing an around the world yacht race, but he was on his own and he was deep in the Southern Ocean and there was a big wave, the boat fell over and he tumbled through this whole thing and the boat popped up and he survived and it was all okay. But I woke up that morning, actually while it was happening, and I knew it was all happening, and I was describing it to Chris, and we had no way of knowing that this was all happening. And I'm like, oh my God, something's happened to Nick, something's happened to Nick. The boat's been knocked over in the ocean, and I'm not quite sure. And we rang his office that next morning as soon as it opened, and I'm like, is Nick okay? What's wrong? And they're like, what do you mean? And I described this whole thing at exactly the same time that it happened. And it's like, how do you prove that? There was no communication to the boat in the Southern Ocean, but I described it exactly how it all happened. Like, what is that?
Annie, that's so astonishing.
I don't even know if I want to understand what that is. But that's the bit that I guess sometimes that's what comes to me in a treatment as well, where I can understand things and know what the body's going through, or I don't know. And like I said, I'm not quite sure if I want to know, but it's, yeah. I can't prove it.
Amazing. You can keep up with what Annie's up to on Instagram at demamielskin and head to demamiel.com for more on Annie and the product range. Thank you so much for joining us, Annie. It's been such a joy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute delight.
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.